Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Chaim Balter. Maseches Sukkah has been dedicated by Mr. and Mrs. Noach Stengel, Le'ilu Nishmas Menachem Meir ben Naftali, and Esther Bas David.
Today's daf is Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, which is the beginning of the second parak. We're actually going to start our discussion from Chaf Amud Beis, the Mishnah, which starts Hayoshen Tachas Hamita B'Sukkah Lo Yotzi Yedei Chavoso. There are five topics that we will be discussing today. The first topic will be why the Mishnah picks the case of Hayoshen Tachas Hamita as opposed to other things that you may do in the Sukkah, such as Achil or Shtia. The second topic will be the topic of the Patur, or the exemption of Avadim and Nashim concerning Mitzvah Sukkah. The third topic will be what is exactly the problem with sleeping under a bed in a Sukkah and why are you not Yotzei? The fourth topic will be the concept of Ohel Zoruk, which is the idea of an Ohel that is moving, whether it has the concept of actually being an Ohel. And the fifth topic will be concerning the Mishnah on Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, which deals with the psul of being Mesachech with Dover Shebekabel Tumah. The first topic, Hayoshen Tachas Hamita B'Sukkah Lo Yotzadei Chavoso. The Mishnah starts off on Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, stating that someone who sleeps under a bed is not Yotzei the Mitzvah Sukkah. There's a question of why is the example of doing an act in the Sukkah underneath a bed being the act of Hayoshen? Why, for instance, can it say Ha'ochel Tachas HaShulchan or HaShosa Tachas HaMita? So Rashi actually points something out, which is very important. We'll speak about this Rashi. Hayoshen lo yotze, the ohel mafsik beino lisukkah, the ikar yeshivas hasukkah achila shtia v'sheina. Rashi makes an interesting point, and he says that the ikar yeshivas sukkah, the main living in the sukkah, is made up of three categories: eating, drinking, and sleeping. So once again, the question is, why does the Mishnah pick hayoshen? There are two different views which seem to be diametrically opposed. One is a Tosus Yontif who asks, why is the example given of Hayoshen? And he says, because that is the main type of yeshiva sukkah. That is the type of yeshiva sukkah that is considered to be the most permanent and the most stringent. So, for instance, the Gemara later, the Mishnah later on, Chafei Amar Aleph says that Ochlin v'shosin aroi chutz misukkah. A person can eat and a person can go ahead and drink aroi in a temporary manner as long as it's not achilas keva inside the sukkah. However, the Gemara on Chavav Maralev states that no sleeping at all, even temporary sleeping, cannot be done outside the sukkah. So the Tosus Yontif says the example of Hayoshen is being brought to teach us that this is the most stringent, important aspect of Yeshiva Sukkah. On the other hand, Rabbi Yonasan Miluniel, who was brought down in the Ginzi Rishonim, says that the reason it says Hayoshen Tachas Hamita B'Sukkah Lo Yotzadei Chavaso is not to emphasize that Shena is the Iker and the most important or most stringent, but rather to teach us a Chiddush that even someone must sleep in the Sukkah, and even someone who sleeps in the sukkah under the mita is lo yotze yedei chavaso. So he seems to be saying the exact opposite direction of Yonasan Miluniel, that we might have thought only achila has stringent requirements, and it's the Mishnah is telling you that even sleeping has stringent requirements. So it seems that the Tosfos Yontif and Yonasan Miluniel are arguing about what is the ikar yeshiva sukkah. Tosfos Yontif is saying it's shena, while Rabbi Yonasan Miluniel is saying that the Shena has to be included because the Iker Mitzvah Yeshiva Sukkah is actually eating. This may be dependent on two deis in Tosus and Brachos Yid Aleph Amud Beis, where Tosus there in Divar Hama, Tosus there discusses the issue of why do you not bake a Birchas HaMitzvah Lishon Basukkah? Tosus gives two answers. The first is that since you make a bracha on achila, the bracha on achila will go ahead and exempt you from the bracha on shena. And the bracha was nitkan on the achila. The second answer in Tosfos and Yid Aleph Amud Beis and Brachos is that you are afraid you may not fall asleep, and as a result of that, then you may encounter a bracha levatala. It may be that those two answers are dealing with this issue. Answer number one seems to indicate that the Iker Bracha is Nitkan on Achila, because it may be that Achila is the Iker Yeshiva Sukkah. As opposed to the second Teretz in Tosus, who doesn't want to say that you can exempt yourself from the Bracha on sleeping with a Bracha on eating, but rather that there's a specific problem with Shena, that a person may not fall asleep. That seems to indicate that he feels that Shena really would require a Bracha on its own, except for a technical problem. Now, if we look at Rashi, Rashi says, V'ikar yeshivas ha-sukkah achila shtia v'shena. So all of these three things are included. The Avnei Nezer in Siman Tav Pei in Or HaChaim points out that Rashi is very important. That the reason Rashi mentions all three of these is because in order for a sukkah to actually to be a kasha sukkah, it has to be built with the ability to do all three. Achila, eating, shtia, and shena. And he points out the raya from this is that a sukkah, even if it's very small, even if it meets the minimal shiurim of only being yud tefachim high or zayin al zayin, is still enough to do achila, shtia, v'shena. The Gemara later on Daf Chaf Ches Med Bey says, you're supposed to do many things in the sukkah. One of them is litayel. One of them is to walk around. One of them is to actually live in there. However, it's not required that the sukkah is big enough. The Avnei Nezer says litayel, and Rashi is pointing out for us that the minimum things, the minimum requirements of a sukkah are achila, shtia, and shena, and even though it's not big enough to move around, that it is still considered to be a kasha sukkah. That's why the shear of a sukkah is so minimal. The other interesting point in Rashi is that Rashi includes amongst the Iker Yeshiva sukkah, achila, shtia, v'shena, which is interesting because there is an iser to eat outside of the sukkah. We know that the Mishnah on Chaf Hei tells us, ochlin v'shoysin aroy chut misukkah, and the Gemara gives a shear later of what is, are you not allowed to eat outside the sukkah? The Gemara never speaks about a shear concerning shtia outside of sukkah. The Gemara on Chavav Ma'av says you're not allowed to sleep outside of the sukkah at all. So the question is, what is the nature of shtia? Why does Rashi say Iker Yeshivas HaSukkah Achil Ushtia if all drinking can be done outside of the sukkah? When the Mishnah on Chaf Hei Amar Aleph says, Ochlin v'shoysin aroi chutz misukkah, does it mean that you're only allowed to drink aroi outside of the sukkah, as well as achila? Or can all drinking be done outside the sukkah? This is a topic of discussion in the Rambam, in Hilchos Sukkah Perek Vav Halacha Vav, as well as in the Shulchan Aruch Simen Tofresh Lametes Siv Beis. The Rambam says, Ochlin v'shosin v'yishenim b'sukkah kol shiva ben b'yom ben b'layla. Again, the Rambam tells us there are three important things in of yeshiva sukkah. Eating, drinking, sleeping. Then he continues, V'asur l'echol sudo chutz l'sukkah kol shiva el'im kein ochel achilas aroi kebeitza o poch pachos u yeser ma'at. He defines that you cannot go ahead and eat a meal outside of the sukkah, unless it is an achilas aroi, a bar kebeya. The ein yeshenim chutz l'sukkah, again, afilu shinas aroi. Now, when it comes to drinking, the Rambam says, umutter, it is permitted, lishtos mayim, ola echol peretz chutz l'sukkah. And the Rambam continues, umi shiyachmer atzmo velo yishta chutz l'sukkah afilu mayim, harezim ashubach. What's interesting in the Rambam is, he only mentions the ability to drink water outside of the sukkah. And he says it's a chumrah, again, to drink water in the sukkah. Is the Rambam implying that only water can be eaten outside of the sukkah and other substances and other beverages cannot? If we look in the Shulchan Aruch, Siman Tav Resh Lametes Sif Beis, the Mechaber says, Ochlin v'shosin v'yishenim, like the Rambam, sukkah kol shiva. However, when he speaks about drinking, he doesn't say umutar lishtos mayim, but he says, Umutur lishtos mayim veyayin ula echo peros. And then the Ramah in parentheses says, Vafilu kova alayhu. It's mashma from the Mechaber that the ability to drink outside the sukkah is not only limited to water, but also yayin. He adds on even wine. And it seems the Ramah is saying that all drinking can be done outside of the sukkah, because the Ramah adds, Vafilu kova alayhu. The Mishnah Berurah, in his discussion, in a Sifkot Nid Gimel seems to indicate that the Ramah is of the opinion that there is no kfias on shtia at all. That all shtia can actually be eaten outside of the sukkah, even shtias yayin. However, in the Bir Halacha, the Divra Hamaskel v'yayin, the Mishnah Berurah discusses whether there is a concept of kfias on shtia, specifically shtias yayin, and whether, in certain circumstances, would shtia require yeshiva sukkah. It brings down a Gra and a Darche Moshe, who both say, from a Gemara in Barachas Lamed Vav Med Beis, that since there is no concept of Birkas HaMazon on Yayin at all, there's no concept of Kfiya Suda on Yayin, then it is impossible to conceive of a Kfiya Suda that would require Sukkah on Yayin. However, he brings a Ritva at the end of the Bir Halakha, Chav Hei Amin Aleph, which states that a Revias of Yayin is Kfiyas, and there is a Shir. This may be Shitas Rashi, where Shitas Rashi says, Iker Yeshiva Sukkah is Achila Shtia, and it may be certain circumstances that Rashi is pointing out that Shtias Yayin would require a Sukkah, according to the Shitas HaRitva that the Bir Halacha brings down, that says a Revias Yayin would require Sukkah, or the Bir Halacha explains that if you're drinking Yayin in the context of a Suda, and the drinking is done within a Suda, then it may be that that drinking that's in the context of a Suda, during a Suda, cannot be done outside of the Sukkah, i.e. if someone has a Suda Shabbos, he may not be able, during that Suda Shabbos, to drink wine outside the Sukkah. So it may be that Rashi is teaching us one of two things, either like the Avnei Nezer, that Shtia is important in order to define the minimal requirements that a Sukkah has to be royal Shtia, or perhaps Rashi is adding Iker Yeshivas Sukkah is achila shtia, because it, like the Shitas HaRitva, there may be cases whereby there is a requirement of achilas kfa, of shtias kfa, to actually drink inside the sukkah. The second topic that we will be discussing is the nature of the patur of both nashim and avadim in yeshivas mitzvah sukkah. It appears that it's very simple that women should be patur from mitzvah sukkah, based on the general rule of mitzvah zeisha hazman groma. However, the issue of the nature of the patur of both women and avadim actually can be analyzed based on two issues. Issue number one is what actually is the makor and the source of the patur of avadim and women in yeshiva sukkah. And the second is, once we know that women and avadim are exempt from yeshiva sukkah, can they do the mitzvah? Is there any significance in them doing the mitzvah? And lastly, if there is significance, can they make a bracha? The Mishnah states and seems to indicate that there was something learned from the fact from Tevi Avdo, Tevi the Eved of Rebbe Gamliel. The Mishnah states, "For Amar Lahem Rebbe Gamliel Zakenim." Rebbe Gamliel said to the Zakenim, "Re'isem, come see Tevi Avdi, Tevi my slave, Shu Talmud Chacham." He's a Talmud Chacham V'yodeya, and he knows Shavadim Peturim Min HaSukkah. L'fikach, therefore, Yashnu Tachas HaMita. Therefore, he goes ahead and sleeps under the Mita, under the bed, as the Mishnah states that sleeping under the bed has no kiyum in Yeshiva Sukkah. The Gemara in Chafalaf Amid Bey says, Amar Reb Shimon, Maisa B'tevi Avdo, Tanyam Reb Shimon, Misichasa Shab Reb Gamliel, from Reb Gamliel's just talking, just from his discussion, we learn two things. Lamadnu shnei dvarim. Lamadnu shavadim peturim min hasukkah. We know that avadim are peturim min hasukkah. The obvious question Tosis asks in Chafal from Beis and Lamadnu is, v'afagav d'hai mitzvah sheshazman groma. Even though it's a mitzvah sheshazman groma, and we know throughout Shas that there's a klal that's established in Maseches Kedushin on Chavtes Amin Aleph that women are peturim from all mitzvah sheshazman groma, and sukkah is a classical example of mitzvah sheshazman groma. Nevertheless, this is a bit of a chiddush, as Tosis points out, because we might have thought, for one of two reasons, that women are chayav in mitzvah sukkah. As the Gemara in Chav Ches Amid Beis actually states, there would be a havamina, sakadaita chamina, that women are chayavas in sukkah, either based on the fact that concerning mitzvah sukkah it says teshvu ke'en taduru, that a person is supposed to sit in the sukkah the same way that they actually live in their house, and that would include a man and a woman. Or a second possibility is, since there's a Hekesh Tesvav Tesvav, that Sukkah is compared to Pesach, and just as in Pesach, women are chayiv in matzah, and that's the exception to mitzvah seishas mangroma, so too by Sukkah we might have such a havami, we might have such a thought. Kimash malon, the Gemara says, women are paturos from mitzvah seishas mangroma of Sukkah, even though there might have been, we might have contemplated otherwise. So at the end of the day, since we have a havamina, and since we might have contemplated that women are chayovos, either because of the hekesh or because of teshuv king taduru, at the end of the day, how do we know that women are paturos? So Rashi on the Mishnah says, at the end of the day, we know that women are paturos, as Rashi says, va'avodim paturim min hasukah, the mitzvah say shazman groma, noshim paturos, and v'chol she'isha chayev es eved nami chayev. An eved is compared to a woman. At the end of the day, a woman is potter from yeshiva sukkah because of mitzvah seh shazman groma. So the Kamash Malan Chav Chesamid Beis is telling us that the real patur for women is because of mitzvah seh shazman groma, and either there's an asmachta from ha'ezrach, from the pasuk, and that speaks about who is chayiv in sukkah, or there's a halacha Moshe Misinai that tells us that women are paturas from the sukkah. A matter of fact, the Ritva himself says that at the end of the day, even though there's a havamina, that women would be chayavos. The Chiddush in the Mishnah is Rabbi Gamliel is saying from Tevi Avdo, we see that at the end of the day, avodim like women are paturim, and the Ritva says because of one of two reasons. Either because of the Pasuk, HaEzrach, or because of Halacha Moshe Misinai. Now the question is, when you have that Halacha Moshe Misinai, or when you have that Asmacht, or that Pasuk, as the Ritva tells us, what is the nature of the Kamash Malon? Is it telling us that at the end of the day, our Havamina was totally incorrect, and Sukkah is an exact example of Mitzvah Sirshas Mangroma, and really the Putur at the end of the day is mitzvah sheishas mangroma, or no? Really, women should be chayavos. It's not a classical mitzvah sheishas mangroma because of either the hekesh tesvav tesvav or because of teshuv kein taduru. And there's a special miut telling us that women are paturos either from the pasuk ha'ezrach or from the halacha Moshe Misinai. So this may be important, because at the end of the day, do we say that mitzvah sukkah is a regular mitzvah sheishas mangroma or not? Meaning, does the Kamash Malan that says women are paturos leave any possibility that the Sfora of Teshuv Kein Taduru would be mechayev women in some way? Rashi, again on the Mishnah, says there's no havamina. The pot of patur from sukkah is based on mitzvah sheishas mangroma. It's not a special miut. However, there's a very interesting Torah Tamima in Parshas Emor, Perek Chav Gimel, Pasuk Mem Beis, Os Kuf Samech Tes, where the Torah Tamima seems to indicate that at the end of the day, the Svara of Teshvu Ke'en Taduru is still applicable. To the extent that he says, Hinei Mavur B'Gemara, the Afa Pikein Paturas HaNashim, Mi Mitzvah Sukkah, the Havi Mitzvah Sheshes Mangrom HaNashim Paturas, Ubechozos nira l'dayti, the hadrasha teshu ke'en taduru li'inyan ze kayemes. The Torah Tamima says that the concept of teshu ke'en taduru by a woman is still existent, and it would have a nafgamina. Ya'an ki kenira li, havi patur nashim li'inyan ze rake shehin la'atzmum, penuyos grushas v'almanos. He feels that at the end of the day, women are only paturos from the sukkah when they are on their own. When they're single, when they're divorced, when they're widowed. Aval, however, zu kishihi im baila. When a woman is with her husband, nihi mishum da'atzma, on her own, she has no independent chiyuv. Aval mishum baila, shayuchuhu l'kayim teshvu ken taduru, chayeves gamhi. An unbelievable chiddush in the Torah Tamima. That women do have an underlying chiyuv in sukkah, as opposed to other mitzvahs, asher yisas man groma, based on the fact that they are necessary to accompany their husband in order that the husband can be Mekayev Teshvu Kein Taduru. And he says there are other examples where people are dragged along and they have some type of chiyuv in a mitzvah in order to facilitate the mitzvah for other people. He says, for instance, the Shitas Balamor in Rosh Hashanah Vavim and Bey says that even though women are not mechuyev in mitzvah simcha, they have a chiyuv, because it's a mitzvah sheyes mangroma, they have a chiyuv to accompany their husbands in order that they should be mekayem mitzvah simcha, the men with their wives. Similarly, he quotes a haflah in Ksubis Chaf Dalem and Beis that there's a chiyuv for Yisraelim to receive Birchas Kohanim in order to facilitate the brach of Birchas Kohanim for the Kohanim. So to hear, this is not a classical case of mitzvah seh shazman grom in sukkah, according to the Torah Tamima, but it has a tinge of chiyuv for the woman that lingers based on the fact of teshvu ke'ein taduru. Now this also seems to be hinted to in the Gemara in Erchin Gimel Beis. The Gemara in Erchin Gimel Beis says that hakol chayavin besukkah, kohanim, levim, v'yisraelim. And the Gemara there asks, how can you pater kohanim, levim, v'yisraelim? No one would be chayv in sukkah. So the Gemara says, the havmin is only legabe a kohen. I might say concerning a kohen that a kohen is pater. What's the sakadai dechamina? Teshuv ke'ein taduru. And since when a kohen is on call in the base of Migdash, he cannot be involved with his wife, I might think that therefore he is potter from sukkah because he cannot live in the sukkah with his wife, because he has to be royal avoda, kimashmuan. The question is again, what is the kimashmuan? Is the kimashmuan that the woman is not necessary at all for teshuv ke'ein taduru? Or does it mean that a woman still has a certain obligation to accompany her husband, or a husband has a certain obligation to be with his wife in the sukkah, to be mekayim to its fullest teshuv ke'ein taduru? So both Rashi and Tosfos and Erchin say that the kamash malon is that even if the kohen cannot go ahead and be mekayim teshuv ke'ein taduru because he is in the Beis HaMikdash, the kamash malon is that when he's not on duty, he should go ahead and be mekayim mitzvah sukkah properly with his wife. So it appears that the concept of teshuv ke'ein taduru, that a man and a woman should stay in the sukkah together, still seems to linger even after the kamash malon. Now, the next issue that we'll speak about is, can a woman, when she's pater from a mitzvah, still do the mitzvah? So if we learn that there's still some type of lingering chiyuv, like the Torah Tamima says, like the Gemara in Erchin seems to indicate, that somehow the woman is still involved with the mitzvah sukkah, and she may even be mechuyev to stay in the sukkah for her husband's sake, then surely the woman is allowed to go ahead and to do the mitzvah even though she herself is patura. The question is according to Rashi. Rashi says at the end of the day, women are totally pater, and the reason they're totally pater is not because of any specific miut, but as we mentioned, there is a havamina, and the halacha Moshe Misinai, or the drush in the pasuk Ezrach, tells us that a havamina is wrong. And according to Rashi, sukkah is a classical example of the default concept of that it's a mitzvah zasheh shehazman grama, that women are paturas. Now the question is, in such a case, do women have the ability to do the mitzvah? So there's a major machlokus between Rambam and Tosfos. If the women do the mitzvah, do they make a bracha? Now Rabbeinu Tam in Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph in Kedushin, as well as the Ritva here in Arsuya, say that there is a meaning to women doing mitzvah atzei shehazman groma, even though they are paturos. And therefore, they can go ahead and they can make the bracha, even asher kedushono b'mitzvasov v'tzivonu leishev basukkah. The Ritva in our sugya indicates that when a woman does a mitzvah atzei shehazman groma, she gets schar for it. And as a result of the fact that she gets schar, she can make a bracha. The lashon of the Ritva is, Alva bishen chayavas bedover yesh lahem mitzvah venotelas aleim schar. Lefikach im ratzu levarach aleim hershus biyadim. Veshoper matzu lemeimar asher kitshano b'mitzvazov v'tzivanu utegabrino b'maseches kedushin. This is, as I mentioned, a topic of machlokis, which the Mishnah Berurah in Simen Tuf Resh Mem refers to. Mechaber in Simen Tuf Resh Mem says, Noshim v'avodim uketanu paturim min asukah. And the Mishnah Berurah, Sif Katan Aleph, says, Mishum dehavad mitzvah seh shezman groma, v'nashim paturos, ve'eved nami dino ki ishul inyam bracha, kesher rotzin, leishev basukah, Ein le'el simen yud zayin, de noagim ha'noshim levarech. Achin acherim lo yavarechu lahem, afila ein yodim ba'atzmam, iloka meshavarechim la'atzmam. So he brings this machlokis in simen yud zayin, whether women are noheg to mevarech on mitzvahs that they are peturos. This question of whether women can make a bracha on mitzvah seishas mangroma might have to do with the nature of how we view women being potter for mitzvah seishas mangroma. There's a shita lo nodu lami in Kedushin Lamed Daled Amud Aleph that asks a fundamental question. What is the nature of the patur of women for mitzvah seishas mangroma? He asks, Mehechi osun le l'chuve. Why in the world would women be mechuyavas in mitzvah seishas mangroma? Meaning that the Lashita Lonod Lemi has a suffix from Hashkafa Rishona, a priori, before we're taught anything. Should women be mechuyavas in any mitzvahs at all? Or should women be mechuyavas in all mitzvahs, and there's a special limud to be mayatim for mitzvah seishas mangroma? He says, Hamistoma, Peturos, Lefisha Kol HaTarakula, Nemra Balashim Zachar. That at the end of the day, it may be that we need a chiddush, or we need a limud to say women are mechuyavas in any mitzvahs, because the whole Torah was Nemra Balashim Zachar. If that's the case, then there's no underlying concept to be mechayev women at all in mitzvahs deshas mangroma. And therefore, we need a pasuk to be mechayev them in los aseis and mitzvahs asei she'ein hazman groma. However, there's another tzad. The other tzad is inami mistoma noshim nami chayovos kidichsiv gabe aseres hadvarim ko somar beis Yaakov. That really all of the Torah is given also to beis Yaakov to begin with, and mitzvahs deshas mangroma are an exception. If that's the case, then really there's an underlying chiyuv in all mitzvahs, and mitzvahs are just an exception, as the Ritva says, that really they get schar, just they're not chayavos. So these two deis in the shita lo nodu lami about whether the mitzvahs deshas mangroma, there's no concept at all to be mechayev them, or rather they should be mechuyavos, the patur may be tali on that machlokes, or may tie into the machlokes of the Rambam and Tosus. The Gilyan HaShas in Rosh Hashanah, Lamed Gimel Lamed Aleph, where there's a discussion there about whether women are allowed to do certain mitzvahs that they're not mechuyavos, such as doing smicha on a behema or tekiya shofar, is mitzayin hagos ha'ashri at the end of the third parak of Sukkah, where the last mission in the third parak of Sukkah says that a woman is allowed to take a lulav from her son or from her husband after he's finished the mitzvah and allowed to put it back into water. The Gemara says, why would we think not? Because ma'al d'seima, we might have thought that since women are not mechuyavas in lulav, mitzvah zeshas mangroma, they're not allowed to touch the lulav, kemash malon. The Gemara is unclear about what the kemash malon is, but the havamin is clear, as Rashi says. It's mitzvah zeshas mangroma. We may think women cannot touch the lulav on Sukkos. However, Rashi says the kamash malon is since men have a chiyuv, and men can be noitalit, based on the fact that it is a kli for men, women could be noitalit the lulav. Dagos Ashri says it appears Rashi is arguing in Rabbeinu Tam. Because if women were allowed to take a lulav and make a bracha on it, why would Rashi need a reason that since men utilize it, women could touch it? It should be that since women themselves can do the mitzvahs aseh shazman groma if they wish. And as the Ritvi here says, there are no tel schar, that should be reason enough. Therefore, the Hargos HaRashri is medayik in Rashi, that it seems that Rashi is like the Shitas HaRambam, and it may even be that Rashi goes even further and feels that women, concerning mitzvahs aseh shazman groma, have no schar, and absolutely have no connection to the mitzvah, and their patur is a total patur. But once again, whether sukkah is like every mitzvah seishas mangroma, or whether it's a special mitzvah that really they should have a chiyuv based on teshuvah and teduru, just as a special miut, may be a machlokes with Rashi in our Mishnah, who says the underlying patur of sukkah is the classical mitzvah seishas mangroma, versus the Ritva, who says that it may just be based on a special miut. And clearly that's the shita of the Torah Tamima, that there's still a lingering chiyuv on a woman in Sukkah based on Teshuvah Ke'en Tedura. Our third topic of discussion will be What is the nature of the psul of Hayoshan Tachas Hamita Besukah? Our Mishnah states Hayoshan Tachas Hamita Besukah Lo Yotzi Dechavaso. So we see someone who sits under, who sleeps under a bed in a sukkah is not Yotze. It's actually a subject of Machlokas. Amar Rav Yehuda, Nogim Hayinu, Shayinu Yishenim Tachas Hamita, Bifnei Zekenim Velo Amar Lo Davar. The Gemara says on Chafal from the Beis, there's a Machlokas between Rav Yehuda Rav Shimon, whether you can go ahead and you can actually sleep under a bed in a sukkah. The Gemara says the Machlokas is about whether the ohel aroy, whether the temporary ohel of a mita is mevatel the ohel kavua of a regular sukkah. The Gemara states in Chafal from Beis b'ha pligi, mar sarva osi ohel aroy, umevatel ohel kfa, umar sarva lo osi ohel aroy, umevatel ohel kfa. So this is the sugya here, and the question is if this sugya is connected to another sugya earlier within the Masechta on Tesamid Beis. So there seems to be a major machlokas in how to learn this psul. Firstly, the Gemara says that Tirgum Shmuel b'mita asara. It's only talking about a bed that is actually 10 tefachim high. So it's interesting that Tosus immediately ties this machlokas here in, or this issue here of a Yashin Tachas HaSukkah, with the sugya earlier on Yud Amud Aleph of Sukkah Tachas Sukkah. The Gemara on Tesamid Bay says that a Sukkah Tachas Sukkah is Psula, and if someone happens to be in a one Sukkah, which is covered by another Sukkah, the Sukkah that he is sitting in is Pasul. And it seems that it's a Gzeres HaKosuf, because it says, B'sukos Teshvu, Shivas Yomim, V'lo B'sukah Shetachas HaSukkah, V'lo B'sukah Shetachas HaIlan, V'lo B'sukah Shebetoch HaBayis. The question is, what do the two sugyas have to do with each other, and is there a comparison? The Rif says the reason Hayoshim Tachas Hamita is possible is because it's a psul of sukkah tachas sukkah. The Rambam, when he brings his halacha, also says that Hayoshim Tachas Hamita is possible because of the psul of sukkah tachas sukkah. And, as I mentioned, the first Tosus in the Perek says that this is Shmuel Lishitase, who says that only if there is a differential or a difference of 10 tefachim between the two sukkahs, do I say there's a psul of sukkah tachas sukkah? So it's Shmuel Lishitasi who says here the bed also has to be 10 tefachim. However, at the end, Taisa says maybe there's a difference between the two sukkahs, and it may be hilkach kulu mode de bepachas me'asara laf klumhu, but here may be that in this case, everyone will agree that everyone will agree that here the mita has to be 10 tefachim because a mita is not as choshev as a sukkah in the other sugya. But once again, it appears Tosus, the Rambam, and the Rif are tying the two sugyas together. The Ritva says he has no understanding, and he agrees with the Balamor, of what the sugya of sukkah tachas sukkah has anything to do here. And he, quoting the Balamor, the Rif says, "V'hikshalov harazah ma'inyan sukkah tachas sukkah l'kan, shere ein kan shem sukkah." How could there be a psul of being under the mita if the mita doesn't have a shem sukkah? So this machlokas is really based on how you learn the psul of sukkah tachas sukkah. Is it a gzeres hakasuv, or is it teaching us a general rule? The Ramban says it's teaching us a general rule. The general rule that it's teaching us is somehow you can go ahead and be mevatel a sukkah with something choshev underneath that sukkah. So just like over there, a sukkah is mevatel the sukkah above it, so to here, the mita is mevatel the sukkah above it. So really the Ramban is saying that the chiddush of sukkah tachas sukkah is a psul in the upper sukkah. That what happens is the lower sukkah takes away the shem sukkah of the upper sukkah. So just as the lower sukkah takes away the shem sukkah of the upper sukkah, so to here, something choshev takes away the din of a sukkah above it. The Ramban further says that if the issue here is an issue of an ohel, then an ohel cannot be under a sukkah, and somehow an ohel is mevatel, an ohel is mevatel the yeshiva sukkah under the sukkah. Like Rashi seems to say, the Ohel Mafsik Beino L'Sukkah, first Rashi on the Mishnah, the Ikar Shivas HaSukkah Achilush Tiyo Ushena, but being in an Ohel, it's Mafsik. Then the Ramban says, an Ohel can't be Mafsik, because a Din Ohel B'chol HaTorah Kula is one Tefach, and therefore no one says that an Ohel of one Tefach would be Mevatel L'Sukkah. Therefore, an Ohel can never be Mevatel L'Sukkah above it, according to the Ramban. And he says you need the chiddush of sukkah tachas sukkah to teach us this general rule that something chashuv, not an ohel b'chol haTorah kula, but something like a sukkah, which is yud tvachim, can be mevatel the sukkah above it. However, the Ritva learns the sugya of sukkah tachas sukkah as not teaching us a general rule, but rather shegzeres hakosuf hu shelo tehei lemala min hasukkah, davar shehu chashuv ohel afilu mimena. That he's actually saying the psul of sukkah tachas sukkah is not a psul in the upper sukkah, but rather he's learning the psul of sukkah tachas sukkah is a psul in the lower sukkah. And somehow the lower sukkah is being mevutal, is being destroyed by the upper sukkah. Now if that's the case, that the upper sukkah is being mevatel by the lower sukkah, that has nothing to do with our sugya. Because we can't be mevatel the mita. The mita doesn't have a shem sukkah. So the Ritva is learning there are two separate sugyas, and the sugya of sukkah, tachas sukkah, is as gzeres hakasuv. And here there's another reason. The other reason is because it's a din ohel. And he says you need an ohel choshev to be mevatel your yeshiva sukkah. So for instance, he says somebody is in a sukkah and he's wearing clothes. No one is going to say the clothes he's wearing, or if a person is wearing a hat, that somehow the hat is mevatel his yeshiva sukkah. So therefore, Shmuel is teaching us, unrelated to the sukkah of Takas Sukkah, that here, once I have a choshev ohel, the choshev ohel could be mafsik my yeshiva sukkah. As Rashi says, the ohel mafsik beino the sukkah. So we see we have a major machlokis, whether the two sugyas of sukkah's Takas Sukkah are connected to the sugyah over here, whether the psul here is learned out from sukkah Takas Sukkah, or whether the psul here is a new psul, or psul of Ohel HaMafsik. And this would determine how we would learn the Gemara in Chafalaf and Bez that says, Asi Ohel Aroy Umevatel Ohel Keva, whether it's a new din of Ohel, or whether it's the same din of Sukkah Tach Sukkah. Our fourth topic will be the topic of Ohel Zorok. Within our sugya, the topic of Ohel is discussed concerning the issue of a sukkah, that perhaps having an ohel in a sukkah and sleeping underneath it might create a psul in your yeshiva sukkah. So along those guidelines, the Gemara discusses the concept of how to define an ohel. Specifically, the Gemara wants to know if an ohel that is created by a human being is considered to be an ohel, or also an ohel that is ein oisui bidei adam is an ohel. So the Gemara brings a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda, who says, Yolif ohel ol mishkan, and just like the ohel in the mishkan is an ohel that's created by a person, so too the din ohel b'chol haTorah kula has to be an ohel that's created by a person, which in our case, in our Mishnah, would not be a problem, because the ohel is a mita that's created by a person. However, the Gemara seems to say that there seems to be a contradiction in Rabbi Yehuda. While Rabbi Yehuda on one hand says that an ohel is created naturally by water or by formation of rocks is not an ohel. However, he says that in connection with the Parah Aduma, where they would take extra precautions in order to make sure that it was all done b'tahara, they would have a process by which they would have children that would grow up in a contained environment of tahara, and then when they needed to actually bring the water for the Efer HaPara, they would actually position those children on top of Shvarim, on top of oxen, and those oxen themselves, or perhaps boards on top of those oxen, would function as a ohel to ensure that Tumah would not touch them. So we see the concept of ohel is brought in the sugya concerning two issues, the issue of being chotzeitz bifnei hatumah, and the issue of being chotzeitz in a sukkah. Now, Tosos, Divar HaMasvav, Al Galbehem Dalsos has a problem. How could it be that the actual animal itself, or the boards on top of the animal, could protect the child riding the animal from tumah, it has a din of an ohel that is moving. And Tosfos says, Man the Yomer begitin uba nazir uba erevin uba perak basu de chagiga de ohel zorak lo shme ohel lochutz bifnei hatuma. There's a man the Yomer who says that if an ohel is moving, it does not have the ability to block tuma. How would they learn our sugya over here that says that a moving ox or with boards on top of it can be chaytzitz bifnei hatuma? So one answer in Tosfos is that the Gemara on Amud Bey says that even though an ox is not created for the purpose of an ohel, meaning it's not created to lie under, nevertheless, there's a gzeres hakasa from Eov, Perek Yud, uba'atzmos v'gidim tesochecheni, it's a gzeres hakasa that something made out of flesh and blood has a din of an ohel. Therefore, it's a gzeres hakasa. And that deals with the issue of ohel zarek, meaning normally an ohel that moves would not be an ohel, but in our case we have a gzeres hakasa. The issue then becomes, what about if you are of the opinion that they would add actual boards on top of the animal in order to protect the children, and those boards were necessary? Now, if those boards were necessary, there's no special gzeres hakasav concerning those boards, and since they are moving, how can they protect the child from tuma? So Tosfos and Erevin, Lamed Amud Beis, Divar Amasul Umar, brings a Shitas HaRashba. And the Nodi Behuda and Orach Chaim Simon Lamed explains at Shitas HaRashba that since the underlying ox has a din ohel because of a gzeres hakasav, and even though it's moving, since there is a gzeres hakasav concerning the shore, any type of boards on top of it would also have the halacha of being chotis b'fnei hatumah, even though it's moving. So once again, the issue is a special gzeres hakasav. In our instance, in the case of the shvarim and the dalsos, in order that they should not have an issue of ohel zarek. The Meiri and Erevin adds another possibility that maybe our case of the dalsos and the case of being chotzit bifnei hatumah by the shvarim and the children is just a mala, is just a special issue here by para aduma. Because we know that by para aduma, we went out of our way in order to ensure that there would be no tuma. Because since in certain cases we were makel that a tful yom could be misasik by para aduma, lahaitzi mi luban shel tzadukim, in order that we would go ahead and take away from the impressions of the tzadukim, we created other contradicting milas bituma. And maybe this mila here was just a chashash of kever tahom. We didn't know for sure there was any tumah underneath the ground. Therefore, the Meiri says we could have been makel here by ohel zarek. The Ritvan Erevin says that the only din of ohel zarek, that a moving ohel is not chotzit bifnei hatumah, is only when we're speaking about kelim that themselves that can be makabel tumah. Only if the actual ohel itself can be makabel tumah do we say that when it's zorik, when it's moving, it can't be chotzitz. But in our case, both the animal, the ox, and the dalsos, which are flat boards, or pshute kli eitz, since they are not makabel tumah, therefore, even though it is a ohel zorik, it is chotzitz bifnei hatumah. Now, this question has an interesting halachic ramification. And that's why Nodi Behuda speaks about this in Orach Chaim Siman Lamed. He speaks about a question of someone who asked him, what about actually walking with a parasol? Today, what we know as an umbrella on Shabbos. And the Shoah wants to be matirit, because if you're going to say that there's an isser to create an ohel on Shabbos, so now we have three nafkaminas for an ohel in our sugya. One is an ohel to be mafsik in the sukkah, the second is an ohel to be mafsik in tuma, and the third may be the question of an ohel legabe Shabbos, the isser of bona. Do you say that an umbrella is an ohel zorak, and once you open it and you move with it, do you say that you could permit it because it doesn't have a din ohel because it's a moving ohel? So Nodi Behuda, based on his understanding of the Rashba's Teretz and Erevin, says that since a man has a din ohel, and the umbrella is controlled by the man, then since the umbrella is an extension of the man, just like the dalsos are an extension of the shore, they would not have a patur of an ohel zorak, but they would have the halachas of a pure ohel, because the concept of ohel zorak would not apply when the object moving is attached to something that has a din ohel. And just like in our sugi, we say flesh and blood, even though it's moving, has a din ohel. And a man has a din ohel, so too the umbrella that he carries would be an extension of him. And the Noli Behuda explains the steer in the Rambams in this way. The Rambam in Hilchos Tumas HaMeis, Perek Yad Aleph Halacha Hey, says, the ohel zorek lo shmei ohel. But in Hilchos Parah, Perek Gimel Halacha Zayin, he says that they would use the dulsos on top of the shvarim. So he explains once again that the Rambam must agree with this concept that if something is standing on top of a moving object, if that moving object, like the oxen, are considered because of Xeris HaKosov to be an ohel, then even though the objects on top of them are moving, since they are attached, they would also have a din ohel. Therefore, an umbrella, according to Noi Behuda, would be usher on Shabbos, because even though it's moving, it is attached to the man and would not have the chisaron of ohel zarek. The Chasam Sofer in Or Chaim Siman Ayin Beis says that he could be mater an umbrella for many reasons, and he finds there's no issue of an ohel, but he says it's an inyan uvda dechol. So we see that this esoteric concept of ohel zarek might have a halachic nafgemina of whether someone could walk it with an umbrella on Shabbos. Our final topic will be the topic of being mesachek on top of a dover shemakabal tuma, which is mamida schach bedover hamakabal tuma. This issue comes up on the mission of the Battle of Chafal from Medbez, where there is machlokas between Chachamim and Rabbi Huda concerning the issue of whether someone can put schach on top of a bed, and will that be a kosher sukkah. Chachamim say, HaSamach sukkaso bekire hamita. Rashi says, mita shlem, if someone creates a sukkah on top of a full bed, it's kosher. Rabbi Huda disagrees and says, im eini yechola la'amag b'yifnei atzma psula. If what is supporting the schach is the bed itself, then it is possible. The Gemara then wants to know my time of the Rabbi Huda. What's the reason for Rabbi Huda? And the Gemara gives two reasons. Pligi bar Rabzeir, Rabbi Avbar Mamal, Charamar b'nei she'in lakeva, v'charamar b'nei she'mamida b'davar hamakabal tuma. There are two reasons given. One is that the sukkah does not have keva, and there's a machlokas how to learn that. Rashi says it's Rabbi Huda lishitase, that the sukkah is somehow lacking a firmness or lacking the sturdiness. However, the Rosh in Siman Aleph in Perek Gimel, in the beginning of Hayashan, says that the concept here is that there may not be enough room here, keva, of actually having yud tvachim. So if there actually would be yud tvachim, then even on top of the bed, Rabbi Yehuda would be moda. The other reason for Rabbi Yehuda is v'chadam Rabbi Pnei Shemamida b'davar hamakabel tuma, that the schach is sitting on something that is makabel tuma. The question is, where does this psul come from? We know that schach has three requirements. It has to be gedulei karka, it has to be tolosh, and a makabel tuma. But where is this new din of that schach cannot rest on something that's makabel tuma? So it seems to be a machlokes between Rashi and other Rishonim, and this could lead us to a chakira and certain nafgaminas to psak halacha. Rashi says, "Va'afal pishalo lamadnu psul el l'schach." He's sensitive to this question. Why should what sits under the schach have the psul of the makabel tuma? So he says, "Hoel v'ikaro shal schach elu ma'amidim." Since these object that's makabel tuma is supporting the schach, havi ki'ilu sichech bedover hamakabel tuma. It's as if you are actually being mesachech bedover hamakabel tuma. Since this is supporting it, it's as if ki'ilu sichech bedover hamakabel tuma. Rashi seems to learn that this is an extension of the schach. We view anything that supports the schach as an extension of the schach. So it sounds like, according to Rashi, the psul is a psul in the schach itself, that the davar hamakabel tuma creates schach pasul. You view it as one long extended piece of schach. However, the Ran, the Ramban, and all other Rishonim learn that it's not a psul in the schach itself. It's rather a new psul of a gzera. It's a new gzera, which is that if I'm going to support the schach with davar hamakabel tuma, I may end up coming to be mesachech bedover makabel tuma. The question is now, do we pasken like this tzad in the Gemara? First of all, we have machlokas Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda. Normally we'd pasken like Tanakama, who says it's okay to go ahead and be mesachech bekire hamita. And it's only Rabbi Yehuda who says that I can't put schach on top of a bed. So the Rosh says, since the Rif brings down the reasons of Rabbi Yehuda, and since the Gemara itself has a shaka v'taya in the reasons of Rabbi Yehuda. It implies the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. However, the Rosh says there is a machlokis in what Rabbi Yehuda's reasoning is. It's only according to one man diomer that Rabbi Yehuda says it's possible because ma'amida b'davar hamakabel tuma. Rather, the Rosh paskins, essentially, and this seems to be the derech of the Shulchan Aruch, that the real reason for Rabbi Yehuda's psul is because the kirei hamita ein lo keva, and as the Rosh understood, that meant that the normal mita does not have yud tfachim, which would not give it enough room for a sukkah. The Mechaber in Siman Tofresh Lamed Sifid Gimel says, Hasamech sukkaso al kirei hamita v'akirayim he mechitzas im yesh bagov asar tfachim min hamita l'schach k'shera. So it appears that the Shulchan Aruch, and he says, V'im lav psula, the Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Rosh, that even if we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, the reason for Rabbi Yehuda's psul in Sochech al Amita, Kire Amita, has to do with the fact that it's lacking the proper height issue of Asar Tfachim. And nowhere in the Shulchan Aruch is there mentioned that a problem of that your Mamid al Gabi Mita, Mamid al Dover HaMekabel Tuma. However, the Mishnah Berurah in Sif Katan and Tes says, Im yesh bo gaba kshera, da af de mamid al gabi mito shehi mekabelas tuma lo ichpas lon bazah. Really, me'ikar hadin, the Shulchan Aruch, and the Rambam, and the Rif, when this is not brought, this concept of paskin like Rabbi Yehuda and lashon Rabbi Yehuda, that the problem of kirei hamita is mamid davar makabel tuma, the Mishnah Berurah says, really, lekel mechash, because the Shulchan Aruch, following the Rosh, says the issue is the issue of Yutfachim, not Mamed Davra Makabel Tuma. The Kabbalah's Tuma al Aschach Ne'amar v'lo al Defanos. So mikol makom, nevertheless, the Mishnah Berurah says, Lechatchila nochon lizor bazeh, and this is the way the Olam is noheg, that Lechatchila, we do not want to have our Aschach resting on Davra Makabel Tuma, because we're choshesh for Rabbi Yehuda, and we're choshesh for the Loshen in Rabbi Yehuda, that the psul is the psul is an issue of b'mamid b'davar hamakabel tuma, and the Magen Avraham in Siman Tofresh Choftes, Siv Zayin, is machmir like that, and that's the way the Olam is noheg. The Rishonim actually bring that. There seem to be a number of Gemaras that seem to be a steer to this concept of not allowing schach to rest on davar hamakabel tuma. For instance, I could be mesachech an avonim, I could be Mesachech on an Elon. So the Rishonim in general don't follow Rashi's approach, and they follow the approach that it's all a Gzera. And in cases of an Elon, you wouldn't be Gozer. In cases of Avonim, you wouldn't be Gozer, because no one is going to be Mesachech be'Avonim if the problem is we're worried be Mesachech be'Dover Shem Makabel Tuma. And the Ramban says that the case of Ha'usa Sukaso Be'ilan is where the Ilan is used as the karka, not actually used as the defanos. And we know the halacha is Hakol Ksherim LeDefanos, even Davar HaMakabel Tuma. So how could it be that we paskin this way? So the Rishonim say, most Rishonim say it's just a gzera. However, the Bach in Siman Tofresh Chavtes says Rashi, since he learned it's not a gzera, but really the Dover Hamamid as a schach is like an extension of schach, learns that there may actually be an Isser Doraisa, while the Pnei Yeshua on our Sugya disagrees. There's a famous Chazonish that many people are familiar with. In Aruch Chaim, Simen Kuf Mem Gimel, Simen Kuf Mem Gimel, that states that not only is Mamid a problem of Makabel Tuma, but even Mamid the Mamid. So, for instance, if someone would put schach on top of wood, where he would not be mamid the schach and davar makabel tuma, if that wood that is supporting the schach is then supported by metal, the Chazonish says there's no difference. Because it says at the end of the day, anything that holds up the schach, even though it's once removed or twice removed, to the extent that the Chazonish says you can't use any metal to keep the defunos together, you would have to use wooden pegs. He says, since the concept is that once something is supporting the schach, there it is a mamid, even though, as we mentioned, there may be something that's choitzitz, he passes it. Now, it appears the Chazon Ish is going along Shitas Rashi. Because if you learn that it's a gzera, then it's hard to say that a mamid, the mamid, the mamid, anything that supports it, even though it's all the way down or removed, there would be a gzera, that you'd be geyser, that I would mix up something that's way down the line with the schach itself. If it's right under the schach and it's a mamid, then I can understand that there would be exerid derabanan. However, if you learn like Rashi, and as we explained, according to Rashi and according to the Bach, it may even be an issur d'oraisa, that it's not a gzera, but it's actually a psul in the schach, that anything that supports the schach is considered, in essence, to be schach pasul, if it doesn't conform with all the qualifications of schach, because it's an extension of the schach, then you could understand the svara of the chazonish. So we see the machlokes of the chazonish and the Mishnah Berurah, and how far the choshesh could be telling in the chakira of what the nature is of the psul of mamid bedavar shemakabel tuma. If it's a gzera, then we would understand just mamid, but if it's like Rashi, that anything that supports the schach is an extension of schach, then it would even be mamid, the mamid, like the sheet of the chazonish.
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the Daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a Daf or Masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.